Good evening. Glad everybody could be back on this still beautiful Lord's Day. I'm glad to see all of you back here, and if we have any visitors, glad to have you. We have a new year ahead of us, and we may have new trials that we may face, or we may face old trials that we once fought last year. We have no clue what's about to go down. We cannot see into the future. We cannot tell what the future may bring. But we know who is in the future. We know who is here with us as of now in the present, and that is Christ. Trials can be hard and devastating, absolutely. We cannot deny the pain that people are in during these difficult times. The pain's there, that grieving, that mourning that people go through. As a Christian, we can get through it because we should depend on Christ during these times. And it is easier said than done because we are human, and when trials come about, we can lose focus of Christ. We see here in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter's writing to Christians who are suffering, and he's comforting them. We see he does not ignore or deny the pain they are in. Absolutely not. He sees the pain. He knows of the pain they are in. But he does, along with comforting them, also encouraging them with Christ and with the words that we are about to dive deep into this evening. So we must see that we can have joy in the midst of trials. And Peter's going to help us understand that this evening. So turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll be dissecting this text, verses 6 through 9. So what we see, the first point here, and we'll see it in verse 6, Christians can rejoice while grieved. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials." Joy and grief can coexist. We know Christianity is not emotional denial. Christians weep. You know, when we look at what the early church went through when the persecution arose against them, we can't sit here and deny that they weren't weeping, that they weren't scared of what was going on. Even Christ himself would weep. He wept for Jerusalem, knowing their future and what lies ahead. He himself even wept, was stressed in the garden before he would be arrested and put on trial. And so we see that human side even from our Savior, Jesus Christ. But joy is not in the pain itself. It is in the living hope, the inheritance, and the salvation ready to be revealed. It's not in the pain itself. What joy helps us do is look past the pain, look past the suffering, and understand we have an inheritance, and we have a living hope, which is Jesus Christ, and we know that salvation is ready to be revealed. We know when the day Christ comes back, we will have salvation. And yes, we have salvation now from sin because of what Christ did. And we know we continue in that salvation as long as we remain faithful. But one day we will have that salvation, meaning we will be saved from this terrible place, this terrible journey that we have been a part of. Another thing that Peter points out here too is understanding trials are temporary. Trials only last so long. Suffering only lasts so long. Peter is not minimizing. He is putting suffering in context here. When you compare the longest trial in this life to eternity with Christ, it cannot compare. These trials are temporary. When you're sick, eventually you get healthy. And when you face persecution, suffering in the midst of that persecution is only going to last so long. before you take and pass on from this life. And once again, I'm not saying that this is easy to do, but we need to understand trials only last so long. Suffering only lasts so long. But another thing I want us to keep in mind, and Peter points out, trials may be necessary. Peter here does not teach random chaos. We know God does test, and we do know bad things happen. It's part of this life. We know that people have the free will to choose whether to do good and evil when bad things happen. There are people who do not care about human life. We've seen that in the past. We've seen that currently. There are people who are just pure evil. Now, that doesn't mean Christ doesn't love them and wants them to come to the truth. Absolutely, he does. But it's not random chaos, especially when trials can serve a divine purpose in shaping the believer. God uses trials as part of his refining work, not save us by suffering, but to mature us, to help us grow stronger in the faith. You know, when we go back to Peter, when he's walking on the water, instead of continuing to focus on Christ, he focuses on the storm around him, the waves. And, you know, have you ever seen, I don't know if any of you have ever seen Deadliest Catch, but when they hit those storms while fishing for crab, I mean, some of those waves, it's terrifying. I'm already terrified of being in a boat in the middle of a storm in the middle of the ocean. That's just terrifying to me. You don't know what's under that water. But at the same time, if he would have kept his eyes on Christ, he would have perfectly walked right to Christ. Wouldn't have had any struggles. And that's how we need to be with trials. We need to understand God's not always going to take us out of trials. He's not going to take them out of our life. He'll guide us through. He'll help us through. When we come out on the other end, guess what? Your faith is going to be so much stronger. You're going to understand what it means to be a mature Christian, to grow spiritually stronger. And so the next thing I want to look at, we can find in verse 7. Tested faith is more valuable than gold. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Many people can say they believe when life is calm. We all can, right? When life is going well, when it's perfect, nothing bad's happening, it's all well. We can proudly proclaim from the rooftops that we believe in Jesus Christ, but boy, when the fire comes, we see a lot of these people fall short, fall away, give up so easily. Once again, I understand being a human being, but the proven happens when faith is costly. You know, when we really look at the Acts of the Apostles and what they went through, their faith was tested. Their faith was put through the fire. And let me tell you, it wouldn't have been pretty. You know, reading about the stoning, you know, we just look at it and think, oh, that's terrible. But when you really look at different ways they would have done it, it's horrific. And these were innocent people being stoned and people who were proclaiming truth. The fire tests what is real. Gold is tested to remove all impurities. Trials, which is the fire, reveals what is genuine in us. They also remove what does not belong. These trials show who truly has faith. You know, so many people right now can proclaim, I would die for Christ, but until you are put in that situation where it is deny Christ or die, that's when we will see who is genuine in their faith. And I pray that I am one of those who stand firm, because I don't know the future. I have no clue how I will be in those times, during those times. None of us do. We should pray that we stand firm, that we are strong in Christ, that we will trust, and that we will stand boldly. Now, the point is not that God does enjoy our pain. That's not who he is. When these trials come about, he's not sitting there laughing and having a good time watching us suffer. No. The point is that God values holy, and he values holiness and enduring faith. He wants to see us be strong for him, to have that type of faith he's looking for in him. We know that faith is more precious than gold. We know gold perishes, but faith endures. So when we look at the world, we know wealth vanishes. Absolutely. Wealth vanishes. We know health can change, and it can change in the blink of an eye. One day we're healthy, and the next day we're facing a cancer diagnosis or whatever it may be, and it's scary. And we know that circumstances can shift, and they will. Things happen. But faith endures. The Word of God endures. God himself is still in control. God is still on his throne. And that's something we can really find joy in. And so the Christian life is centered on an unseen Savior. We love the one we have not seen. We have never seen Christ in the flesh. It was 2,000 some years ago. But the people here in Peter, they never saw. The ones he's talking to never saw Jesus in the flesh. But verse 8 of 1 Peter chapter 1, and though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. They never seen Jesus in the flesh, yet they loved him. Why? Because they heard the gospel. They heard the truth. They heard it preached. You know, that's the one thing that we need to do in the plan of salvation is to hear the word and believe it. Do we truly believe? Do we truly believe in the gospel that this is the inspired word of God? That's something we're going to have to answer on our own. We believe in him even now, 2,000 some years ago. 2,000 some years now, we still believe in him. The faith is still going strong. The gospel is still here. The gospel is still being preached throughout the centuries. Even when tough times came, the word of God and true faith endured. You know, when we look back at times when people tried to get rid of the word of God, when they tried to get rid of Christians, did they ever truly succeed? They did not. It endured for centuries and will endure centuries here on out. Even after we die, if Christ hasn't come back, there will be, and Lord willing, there will be young men and young women who continue preaching the gospel truth and living a faithful life. But we not only believe, but we also obey. And that's important. We know Christian faith is not nostalgia. You know, back in the 90s, I was born in 93. And growing up, I remember the big block Game Boy. I don't know if anybody had one. I still had a Nintendo 64. That's one of the first systems I ever played. Donkey Kong, I think it was. It's pretty cool. But now those pieces are now in museums, which makes me feel old. But, you know, I always wondered when you walk into an antique store, and I love walking into antique stores, I wonder, and not trying to reveal your age, but I wonder how many of you go there and just have nostalgia. You just see something that you used to have as a kid, and you're thinking, man, that's awesome. And so Christian faith is not nostalgia. It is present trust in a reigning Christ. We should connect our faith to the obedient response found across the entire New Testament. Once again, hear, believe, repent, confess, be immersed, and remain faithful. We see that plan of salvation stretched throughout the New Testament. We see all the believers follow and obey, believe and obey. And so the final question I really want to cover, what is joy? Well, joy is the fruit of faith and the foretaste of salvation. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. This is not personality. It is not denial. It is spiritual joy produced by confidence in God's promise. Once again, joy helps us. True biblical joy helps us see past our suffering and hold to God's promise for us, which is those who believe and obey Christ and remain faithful will receive eternal life. That joy helps us. It's not rooted in the pain. It's not in the pain. It helps us look past the pain and understand we have something far greater than anything this world can offer us. That is what true biblical joy looks like. You know, when we think about worldly joy, and that's what I call it, it's temporary. Our emotions are up one day and down the other. Once again, we're in the month of January, almost done with it. Guess what? Depression rates go up in January. Why? Well, you have nothing to look forward to, do you? You got through the holidays. Now it's like a long Monday. A lot of people struggle with finding joy. But those who are Christians, we always have joy because it's rooted in God's promise. So obtaining salvation for your souls. Peter describes salvation as the outcome of faith. There is a already, not yet reality. And it's this. Christians have been saved from sin in Christ. Christians are being saved as they continue in faith. And Christians will be saved, final salvation, as Christ returns. And so we have this already and not yet reality. Christians have been saved from sin in Christ. We know that those who believe and obey the gospel, who hear, believe, repent, confess, be immersed, and remain faithful. We have been saved from sin. And then those who continue in the faith, meaning we overcome all the trials, all the hardships, keeping our faith in Christ, we continue being saved. And we know that with repentance, it's not just a one-time thing. Repentance is a daily thing. We have to repent. We must repent in order to receive forgiveness. Picking ourselves back up and moving forward as Paul would do. Paul in Philippians tells them, you have to keep moving forward. You cannot allow your circumstances to keep you down. Paul, while writing this letter to the Philippians, encouraging him, was himself in chains, in prison. Even while in Rome, later on, he would be writing letters to the church. He would be encouraging even Christians who were in prison with him, facing what the Romans called the circus, going and being fed to the lions. I mean, he was always encouraging, and I'm sure he encouraged Roman officials, his jailers. That's just who Paul was. But Paul understood as well the future. That when Christ does return, our salvation will be here. We will be taken home. We will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. To all those who are faithful, to all those who remain faithful through trials, who allowed their joy to keep them focused, we will have eternal life with God in heaven. And that is what true biblical joy through trials looks like. And that's what Peter is saying here to these Christians. It only lasts a little while. Keep your faith in God and keep moving forward. No matter what you face, And you know, we live in a world today where trials present themselves, where hardships come about. And when you look at the world and the chaos that's going on, it's hard to find joy. It's hard to keep yourself level. But that's why we should always go back to the source where we can have true joy, and that is in the Word of God. And so this evening, are you a Christian? If you're not, you're not going to have this biblical joy. You won't. You won't have this joy that lasts a lifetime, for eternity. You're not going to have this joy that helps you see past into the future to see that hope and that promise God has given us. You don't have it, but you can have it. And that's simply if you believe and obey. And so how do you become a Christian? This is how you become a Christian. Hear the word, Romans 10:17. Believe the word, Mark 16:15-16. Then you must repent, change your life, turn from your old ways, your sinful ways, and turn back to God. Then you must confess your faith in Christ. Don't be embarrassed. Confess Him before men. Don't deny Him. And then it doesn't stop there. We must be immersed for the remission, for the forgiveness of our sins. When we are buried in the likeness of Christ, and His blood comes over and washes away our sins, makes us white as snow. And then when we raise in the likeness that Christ resurrected, we are now a new creature. We are perfect in that moment. And we have salvation. We have been saved from our sins. But it doesn't stop there. We must remain faithful. And that means we must endure trials. We must endure hardships. And it's worth it. The gospel does not sugarcoat what kind of life it will be as a Christian. But what it does do is points us to a future hope. And that gives us all the confidence. That gives us all the strength we need to keep moving forward, to keep marching on as soldiers in Christ. Or if you were a Christian and you have went astray, have fallen back into your old ways, there's still that hope for you tonight. Come forward, repent of your sins, and be reconciled to God. Don't wait. So if you're here this evening and you need any assistance, the church is here for you. We will help you in any way you need it. Come forward this evening as we stand and as we sing.